Brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles. Going into the second chapter of Galatians tonight. And I thank God how He's hit my heart with this study to just really come in here tonight to rejoice with the brethren of the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. That thanks be to God, brothers and sisters, it is finished. And praise the Lord, it is finished. I'm thankful to God that that work is done. And in that, praise His name, that we are His workmanship. And thanks be to God that the Word of God tells us that that life that has come to live in us is what's growing up. It's the life of Christ in us that we yield to. That, again, we allow this Word and the Word of His grace to build us up and to give us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. So praise God. And we're just going to jump right in tonight in the second chapter and in that 19th verse. And let's rejoice tonight. And I pray everybody's got a Bible here tonight. I was thinking how precious it is to have hands by God's grace that are used to holding a Bible. God help us to be encouraging to one another and to others that may come in to fellowship with us. There's a lot of churches that don't even encourage you to bring a Bible, never even crack a Bible in a lot of ways. Now, I'm not magnifying this meeting. I'm just magnifying the Word of God. It's the greatest thing we can ever hold in our hands. Praise the Lord is the Word of God, the Word of life. Praise His name. But in that 19th verse, it says, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Now, thank Jesus for this. There was a debt that had to be paid, brothers and sisters. Everyone here was born in trespasses and sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. Everyone came through that fall in Adam, and we needed a Savior. There was a debt that had to be paid. There was a guilt that was death because of sin that had to be paid. And praise the Lord, there was one that it was appointed unto Him to die. And praise God, it was once and for all. And thank you, Jesus, that you, the Lamb of God, took that place. You who knew no sin came, bled, died upon that tree, and became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might live with Him forever. Now, brothers and sisters, it's so wonderful to think and to know that Jesus Christ was the one who paid it all. He was the one that was offered up for the sin of all men. That life, praise God, was the payment for it all. And thank you, Jesus, that we sit here tonight and rejoice in the life that was given, the only begotten Son, hallelujah, the very Son of God, the I Am, the Lamb of God who died for us. Hallelujah. And that paid it all. Now, let's read it again. "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." So we can conclude right here that the only way we can live unto God is by being dead to the law. I believe that's called grace. Now, let's go to Romans, chapter 6, verse 6. And I'm just going to turn there with you tonight. So there's no speedy turners here. We're going to go there together. All right? Romans 6, 6. And I encourage you, keep your finger in Romans. We're going to be going back and forth here all night long. Knowing this. See, know this, that our old man, and the word is not is, the word in the Greek was, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, how often do we hear about this old man? We understand that there are two natures very clearly, but praise God, we're going to read here soon that we're a new creature. Hallelujah. All things are become new. Praise his name. But knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I believe we're getting to Galatians 2:20 here quickly. Aren't you thankful you've been crucified with Christ? For if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Praise God, Christ in me, the hope of glory. It says it all over the world of the Word of God, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Now let's go over to Romans chapter 7. And let's read from verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. There's a lot of we should, huh? And why should we? Because of the new life that lives in us. Because we are dead to sin, praise be to God. Because now Christ liveth in me. This is why we should. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now, not someday, but now, we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. When are we going to get it? Isn't it something? Now, we know this, praise the Lord. But how many times do we need to be reminded over and over? You're my workmanship, honey. Praise God. You're righteous and holy because of the life that you now live. That's the life that we live, brothers and sisters. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. Now, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. As we get into 2:20, you talk about some wonderful scripture here tonight. That's chapter 2, verse 4. Let's go to verse 4. But God, see? Remember that all the time in your life? When the enemy tries to come in and tell you that, see how rotten and no good, and see how guilty you are, and you might as well just give it up, condemn yourself, and all the... No, but God. Here it is. Who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. See, grace upon grace upon grace. See, it wasn't because of anything you did, because you were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. Guilty. Hallelujah. But God, he loved. He so loved. It had to be this way. Even when we were dead in sins. I love that. He saw that sweet lady that he calls out from it. And I thank God that he said, go and sin no more. Right? Caught in the act of adultery. See, he wasn't going to flee from her. He was going to go to her. Isn't that wonderful? It attracted him. He came to save the lost. Did you know that? See, the ones that don't need him because they're so good, sometimes he just passed right by. Yeah, he does. See? Came to save the needy, the lost. Hallelujah. That's our wonderful Savior. Know that, brothers and sisters. He's there to help the ones of a contrite spirit and a broken heart. He gives grace to the humble, doesn't he? Think of that. He sees the proud afar off. Come on. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Isn't it amazing that so little of Christianity truly, so-called Christianity, and I have to call it so-called, because this is it, this is the truth, this is the upright walk, as we've been rejoicing in. It's grace. And it's so absolutely clear. But brothers and sisters, when we don't want to have eyes that see or ears that hear, we're going to be in a darkened state. And I'm talking about people that truly know him as Savior. Do you want to know the truth? Do you? Well, it's going to be by my Spirit. And if you think about the Holy Spirit, it's the loved one. It's the one that sheds the love of God abroad in our heart. We're never going to look and really receive the Word of God unless we see the love of God. Praise God. Because faith worketh by love. Now, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Had to bring it out again, didn't he? And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you realize how much care you have? Hallelujah! He cares for you. He dotes on you. In ages past, he set forth these before-ordained good works that ye should walk in them. You talk about a path of success. You talk about it being laid out. Believe me. Take it. I love you. It's because of my love I've set this forth for you to walk. And how do we walk? We walk by faith. Believing him. How do you believe him? You believe he loves you. You believe that he's not going to withhold anything good from you. You believe that he'll perfect that which concerns you. What happens if the path is right through a fiery furnace? What happens if it's yea in the valley of the shadow of death? Did he make a mistake? Or is it perfection that we could never even understand? Amen. We know what that is. God help us to believe it. As Brother Job, as I rejoiced with Sister Garcia, though he slay me, will I trust him. Amen? Because you know it's got to be love. Because God is love. Hallelujah. All right. Let's turn over to Romans 3, 27 and 28. Nothing like hearing the pages turn in a Bible, is there? Hallelujah. I think it sounds like wings if you really hear it, see? 27 and 28. Let this just hit you. God help us. Let's clear it up. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what? Law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith, without the deeds of the law. I love this. Don't you just rejoice and give praise and glory and honor to where the only place it should go, to Jesus Christ and him crucified? It is so fabulously wonderful. It's marvelous. I rejoice that the victory has been won. And now we just walk in the finished work. Hallelujah. How wonderful that we realize that whom he has made free is free indeed. That sin hath no dominion over us. Praise God that we're the new creation. Hallelujah. How marvelous. Do you realize the power? Really? The power of God. Okay, we're going to realize it here. We're going to keep going. Now, so we see, brothers and sisters, that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I think we're ready to go on to verse 20 here in Galatians 2. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord. Are we getting a real glimpse of who we are in Christ? And not just me, but praise the Lord, any of God's children. Praise God. I'm thankful. It's Christ in them. Praise the Lord. We see souls, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Jesus, that it is the life of Christ that lives in his saints. Now let's turn back to Romans. Let's read from chapter 6, verse 4. Chapter 6, verse 4, it says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Do you see when ones try to tell you, well, you need to do this, and you've got to be accountable for that, and wait a second here. I think we started out with, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. What are we doing, brothers and sisters? What are we trying to keep? We live by faith. We live, again, by complete confidence in the work on the cross. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's read, verse 17. Actually, let's back up to 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. See, God help us to get our vision with one another on Jesus. Is our fellowship in the gospel of Christ? I pray it is. I pray that when we come together and we have maybe a brother or a sister that has been taken in a fault, that we would be spiritual and restore such a one. And why? And how would we restore? Do we have to get them into a think tank and do this and do that? Or do we remind them who they are in Christ? Do we say, honey, that wasn't who you are? That's the lie. See, we're free. We're free from the law of sin and death. See, when we try to bind ourselves or one another with law, just like, again, we were reading last week about Peter, how he went with those brethren that were Pharisees, that wanted to put bondage back on the people of God, to have those Gentiles living the tradition that they knew that they were delivered from, that were back of the Jew. Brothers and sisters, we understand that those are chains and bonds that don't even exist, because whom he has made free is free indeed. Those, again, are the lies of the devil. And it's so subtle how the enemy does that with us in our own lives. Sometimes we make a mistake or we fail. Okay, let's say not sometimes, often we do. And sometimes the enemy gets in there, whispers in the air, might not even be some condemnation. Well, you know, if you'll do this or that, start to even get you into something superstitious. Thinking that, well, Lord, if I, you know, go ahead and read my Bible or do something of that nature of me, then somehow I'm gaining favor out of something that I'm working. By God's grace, it's Christ in me. Brothers and sisters, we yield to that life. We have to have confidence by his grace in that life. In 2:20, we read it was the faith of the Son of God. It's very important, this faith of the Son of God, the faith in the Son of God. You'll read that over and over in the Word of God. But I love how it brings it out here, the faith of the Son of God. It's his faith. Do you see that? That's not my faith, that's his faith. And grace, praise the Lord, grace caused that life to come and live in me. See, brothers and sisters, we can have confidence in the life that lives in us, which is Jesus Christ. That's the confidence. That, praise the Lord, there is grace for that life to come forward and to believe you, Lord. I may be flat, I may have been in a desert place for a long time, but Lord, I know that seed remaineth. I may have not felt anything for a long time. Matter of fact, I may have ran in the world for years. But if I'm a child of the King, I'm a child of the King. If I'm born of God, I'm born of God. You can't go back. Praise God. You're His. He circled you. He's marked you. He bought you. You are not your own. You can act like what you, God forbid, and you'll be sorry you did. And I've been there before, and you know it. The times you haven't yielded to God, those years, months, whatever it is, that's the mourning. Those are the things that hurt. Trials are sorrowful, but when you know by His grace that that life is yielding to God, you can look to the Word of God and say, oh my goodness, the power of Christ rests upon me. Amen. Are we absolute in this? Are we in singleness of mind and heart in this? I believe we are. God help us truly to be found alone in His righteousness. See, those are the ones that are going to win Him. Completely confident of the life of Jesus Christ. That it's nothing of us, brothers and sisters. That it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. I was rejoicing with a couple brothers just before we came in here. God was encouraging my heart about the throne of grace. I think about come boldly to the throne of grace. It's just grace everywhere. It's the grace throne. Praise God, and we go in there, and that's my Father, and that's my love. Hallelujah. It's the grace throne. And what happens to be in the grace throne? Everything I need. Everything to help me in my time of need. And what are those things in there that just happen to help me? Mercy and grace. Now, it's amazing to me to think that, Lord, now, I understand it's the grace throne, so that includes and encompasses everything that I need. Why do you break it out like mercy and grace? And we've been talking about this for quite some time. But just in the simplicity, son, that mercy, that's for your mess ups, for your mistakes. Always remembering, praise God, you are dead in your trespasses and sin, but God. Mercy. Mercy. Hallelujah. Guilty of it all. No reason to be found clean, but hallelujah, not just clean, new. New. Now that's taken care of. But see, then there's more grace. As the brother spoke many years ago, grace for grace. Praise His name. Grace, the power now to take that mercy, rejoice in it. Grace, grow, gain, all of those things. Because the power of God, His love, He'll grow you up. And it's over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, see, it's in our failures. It's in our mistakes often that put us on our knees. Say, Lord, I was a little distant here. I got to get me back in the throne of grace. Hallelujah. And His love draws us every single time, doesn't it? Praise His name, brothers and sisters. All right. So, my goodness, we just get caught up into love and getting all over the place here. But it's so wonderful. Hallelujah. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we were just getting to read that. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we Him no more. See, isn't that wonderful? Even Christ Jesus, hallelujah, by my Spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Like Him, His life, praise God. Now are we the sons of God, 1 John 3:2. And I appreciate what Brother Copley says. He says it wasn't just a non-sinning new line, but it was a new line that cannot sin. Hallelujah, we needed this. We needed a new line. It wasn't something that was just refurbished or something of that nature. It's new. It's Him. It's that sweet life of Jesus Christ. And then go with me over to 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's read verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says, whereby are given unto us, can you imagine this? Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Oh, this is exciting. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, there'll be those that'll try to get a hold of this verse and say, well, see, you might be partakers. Let's read how that really is. If you go in the Greek, that word really means was done. That might be really means fulfilled. So simply might be better translated is be. One of the favorite words in my vocabulary of God's Spirit, just be. Isn't it wonderful? So let's read that. That by these be partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. He gave you his life. You're partakers of his life. It's far more than adoption, brothers and sisters. We know this. This is his very life. Praise God that we are grafted in that vine, and praise his name that it's his life that produces fruit on the branches. Now, going on, let's go back to Galatians 2, verse 21. So in this now that we know that it is Christ in us, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I don't make it void. Amen? We don't make it empty. And how do we do that? By grace. By grace we don't frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. See, if there was any other way to be accepted to God than the life of Jesus Christ and his blood, God would have never given his son. He wouldn't have wasted it. Do you see that? He would not have done that. If there was any other way, he would not have sacrificed his son. But it was the only way. It was the only way that God could bring man unto him, that he could bring many sons to glory, was in the life of his son. So we realize that there is no righteousness except by the blood of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:9. Let's turn there. This truly is a Bible study. I pray that we understand this is the voice of the Lord. Let it just speak to you tonight. Let it soothe you. You talk about a washing. Who hath saved us? Not saving, saved us. Hallelujah. And called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Isn't that amazing? It's not according to what we've done that he called us. He called us by grace. God saw us in his Son, us in Christ, praise his name, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Isn't that awesome? See, this is how he saw us. He saw us in his Son. He saw that life. He saw that new creation. He saw the plan. He made the plan. And praise God, gave us the provision, the power, hallelujah, to live it. And here it is in the blood of the Lamb. It's, oh my goodness, how can we sit still in this? Let's go back to Romans chapter 11 and read verse 6. You're not getting dizzy because of the pages. You're just getting dizzy because of his love. All right. 11:6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So I ask you, what do you want? Do you want work or you want grace? I need grace. I mess up work. I get lazy and don't want to work. I work too hard. I just get trouble in work, don't I? Grace. Hallelujah. And you see, as you've received grace in your life, oh, what a beautiful work grace does. Yes, I'll show you my faith, praise the Lord, by my works. They'll come out. Hallelujah. The believing of the Lord. See how simple it is? Isn't it awesome? See, we're branches in the vine. We abide there. We get pruned. All of these things that God does. The husbandman comes out. He's tending this. He knows what you need and exactly when you need it, how you need it, and all those things. But you're going to be in a state, if you're going to yield to God, where he's going to increase and you're going to decrease. So pruning's going to happen, and exceedingly more as we want to grow up into him, aren't we? If we want a lot of good fruit, praise his name, which is the only fruit he produces, we're going to allow him to prune us. We're going to be still and know that he is God. That's why we need to pray fervently one for another. Amen? See, when we're strong in ourselves, we're in a bad way. We're going to be discouraged. We're going to be depressed. But hallelujah. A bruised reed, praise God, a smoking flax, all of those things, God comes in. God comes in because of but God. Hallelujah. All right, let's go over to 2 Peter 3:18. Yes, let's turn there. I know we know this, but let's read the word together. 2 Peter 3:18. It's out there on those sweet steps in the front of the church. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So see, we grow in grace, and as you grow in grace, there's glory going to one place, and that's to Jesus Christ. We magnify him. We thank him for the work. Amen. That it is. It's a transparent thing. We thank Jesus because of our growth, and that is the key. One of the evidences of grace is there's always thanks to God. It's that thanksgiving that we talked about on Sunday. It keeps going to him. And I'm grateful to God that the moment that we try to accept glory or glory to ourselves, we understand that that is called vain glory. It's empty. It's a waste of time. And matter of fact, it's an abomination to God, because only glory should go save in the cross, the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to Romans again, chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. I like that. Grace and grace. There it is again. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And that word redemption is to deliver by paying a price. He did it all. He's emphatic about this, isn't he? You see, over and over, we haven't even touched upon the same verse. We're not going to exhaust this tonight, brothers and sisters. There is so much more here. But how could we not rejoice into what God has given us and laid up for us? It's assured. It's completed. It's a finished work. Let's not get confused. Let's not lean to our own understanding. Let's not lean to our feeling. I was just in a country that was the epitome of good works. Works, 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 works. Self works. Abomination to God. So sad. Missed it completely. Brother Hill used to say, a wondrous counterfeit. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is the only reality, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go on to chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, that means unwise, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? So, these unwise Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That means bring evil upon. That means to charm, cast really a spell, seduced you, that ye should not obey the truth, that ye should not obey grace. See, when we drift from grace, I'm telling you, there's a bewitching going on in our lives. We're being seduced by the flesh. We're succumbing to an evil charm, is what this means. Every religion of self-effort is witchcraft. Brother Copley mentioned that, and it's true. Because it denies the perfect finished work of God. And again, this was before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. See, they're without excuse. We're without excuse. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And in Romans 10:17, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by the word of God, the faith of Jesus Christ. Rest in it. Get in that rocking chair, hallelujah, and let him rock you. Just lay there, hallelujah. Allow him to just soothe you, that honey, it's my love and you're my work. Are ye so foolish? The third verse. Man, again, unwise. Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh, complete? Let's go over to Romans 8 in this. Let's see a little bit deeper here. And let's read the 33rd and 34th verse. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Do you know what that elect means? So clearly, to obtain salvation through Christ. Have you obtained salvation through Jesus Christ? Well, welcome, elect. Isn't that wonderful? You're the elect of God. Hallelujah. Because of the blood of Jesus. So here we go. Who shall lay anything to the charge of you? It is God that justifieth. And I'll tell you what, whom he's justified is justified. And whom he is justified is the only one that has been justified. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And then you got to read, anything shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. We'll just sum it up. Nothing. Oh, my goodness. How secure. How wonderful. So again, foolish Galatians, foolish anyone who lives in this day and age who's a Christian, shame on you. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? I'll tell you, some dear brethren, and all brethren are dear because they're children of the King, but some that I'd fellowshipped with, and one in particular, loved that brother so much, and a brother that did more good to me in a natural sense than very few people did, but got caught up. Well, sure. This man came to him and said, sure, you're saved by grace, and sure, it's the blood of the Lamb. But if you want to be in that bride, you got to start living the law. It's just crazy, isn't it? And I mean, really, it's laughable, cryable. And I'm just telling you, that kind of stuff, it's amazing. But for the grace of God, there go I. Like I said, brothers and sisters, I've heard people say, well, if you're strong and grown up in the Lord, you won't go that way. You best listen to the word of God. But for the grace of God, there go I. Peter loved the Lord. I know he wasn't mature in the Lord at that time, that but he had matured a lot. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. And yeah, he fell from grace. And he did. But aren't you thankful that grace held him? See, he just didn't embrace what was already holding him, that would always hold him. See? What do you think you're apprehending? What apprehends you? The grace of God. You want to apprehend it tonight even a little bit more? I do. Lord, help me just to understand that that's how I grow. That's how you grow. That's how we grow up. God, help to get this judgmental spirit out of me, whether it's towards my life or yours. Help me truly to live the life that lives in me. Let it come forth. Let me be a vessel of your love. Let me be readied. This isn't just saying things. This is the life of Christ that lives in you. Don't you want it to grow up into all things? Everything in Christ Jesus? I believe you do. You wouldn't be under this message for all these years. You wouldn't come and rejoice and run. Like a man that ate lunch with a couple days back. God's put him in my life. He has not accepted Christ as his Savior. But it's amazing what this guy will ask me every once in a while and different things. But what a conversation. And I know God's dealing with him, and I ask you to pray for him. But he said, we were talking about some different things, and he says, well, what is the most special, incredible thing about what you do? I kind of thought, and I asked him again, what do you mean? He says, well, what's like the thing that you want to see the most? What encourages you the most about what you do? And I said, you really want to know? And in a few short words, but it went on for about 20 minutes. But really what it is, and it all comes down to, is to see the growth of Jesus Christ in his saints. And that is it. That is truly the epitome of it all. That we grow up. Because see, that's the call of the Lord in us. That's the call of the Word of God. Is that we rise up, and grow on. Hallelujah. Into him in all things. That we would be filled with all the fullness of God. All right, let's go back to Galatians. Verse 4. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? I love that. You know, again, speaking with Brother Mark Cordova, it was sweet because he's suffering. He's got quite an infection from a surgery he had. And he said, I'm so thankful that grace, again, hallelujah, has been enlightened in my life, that I know that I'm walking in the Spirit. He says, I know that, praise God, that I'm suffering for Christ's sake. He says, I feel sorry for people because I felt sorry for myself. You're going to suffer no matter. Isn't it a wonderful thing, Brother Jess, that we know that we're suffering for Christ's sake? And I said, thank you, brother. I'm thankful to God that you encourage me in that, that there's purpose, hallelujah. And it's not just purpose, praise God, it's the inheritance of the saints in Christ. And we're thankful to God that he's called us that way. Verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? What do you think Hebrews chapter 11 is all about? By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. When are we going to knock it off? You know why I know you? Because I know our old man. And it's the good fight of faith for us always, isn't it? I'm so thankful that God has enlightened the eyes of our understanding for the truth. We come here and we rejoice, brothers and sisters, that there is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That there is a company that's being readied for his name's sake. That we understand that God wants us not only as an heir of God, which we are in Christ, but joint heirs together with Jesus Christ, if we'll suffer with him, together with him. That we also will be, shall be, glorified together with him. Now, in that calling, brothers and sisters, and thankfulness to God, we come here. And we rejoice and we read the scriptures and we thank God and we pray. But are we completely confident and relying upon his work alone in our lives? I'm just asking you. And the Lord's asking you. Are you confident in Christ alone? Do you believe by God's grace that he has made you righteous and holy? Do you believe that you are accepted in the Beloved? Not will be, not someday, but that right now you are accepted in the Beloved. Do you think that we can let him perform the good work which he's begun? Do you think that we can let him do it? Do you think that by God's grace that we can have confidence in the grace of God? Do you believe that we can just come in boldly to the throne of grace and I don't have to worry, praise the Lord, about a failure that I made or a mistake that I made, that I can truly rise up and realize that Romans 8:1 is true, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus? God help you, God help me, to quit feeling sorry for myself. Now are we the sons of God. That's a full overcomer. That is the company that will rejoice, not just before the throne, but in the midst of the throne. Behold the Lamb's wife. Not unto me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Do you believe it? God help us not to be shy. See, God wants us bold in Christ. He wants us confident in the life that lives in the children of the King. He doesn't want us living as paupers. He doesn't want us roaming around in fear. He wants our steps enlarged. He wants us to be focused in purpose, reaching forth, pressing toward that mark that he set before us, that you have been fully equipped, that he is able, that through Christ, who strengthens me, I can do all things. I can not just go on, I can win him. Perfect love casts out all fear. He will perfect that which concerns me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. If he be for me, who can be against me? Isn't it just remarkable that we're so frail? I'm so thankful we had a God that was so reminding over and over. But I love you. But I love you. But Lord, how could you love me? I know all this, but yet I do this. For the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, Lord, that I do. But I love you. And then somehow, some way, that finally hits home. And I begin to rise up. My wings begin to flap. And I thank the Lord, I look at the finished work on the cross. Hallelujah. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I glory in that man. The Christ man. The man that I am. Praise the Lord. And now grow. And grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What do you think? Can we really truly say, behold the Lamb? Well, praise his name. I thank God that we can rejoice together tonight in this. This is God's inheritance. Us in Christ. That's what he saw in ages past. Do you see that? He saw his son. And he saw us in his son. That's how he so loved the world. He saw us in his son. He's always loved that because he's always loved his son. What a love affair. Praise his name. Do you see why there's no boundaries? There's no limitations? Praise his name. That he's for us and that he will finish that work which he's begun. And it's a good one. But let him finish it now. We're in the age, brothers and sisters, of the bride. God help us to lay hold that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, that his grace is sufficient, that he does exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. He didn't realize that we were just going to read about a tenth of the Word of God tonight. I pray that his Word never disappoints you. Timothy, preach the Word. By it we grow. Let's stand and be dismissed.